Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Today on Sound Doctrine.
The deception is that relationship is not that big of a deal. And yet Jesus says right here, I never knew you. So what is relationship? It's everything, isn't it? Because in that day, when everything's revealed, he's going to say, either you had a right-on relationship with your right-on Redeemer, or you were right off. And he never walked with you, never talked with you. You had all the outward appearance, but you didn't have the reality. Relationship is everything.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Thank you for joining us today for Sound Doctrine. In a moment, I'll hand things over to Pastor Jeff Johnson as we resume our verse-by-verse study in Matthew, with another stop in chapter 7. Deception will be great in the last days, and this deception even occurs within the heart of mankind. We can easily be self-deceived if we're not careful. So how do we know for sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven? Well, Jesus doesn't want us to be confused or deceived on the matter. So let's hear what he has to say. Here in part 2 of Are You Sincerely Saved?
Over in Acts chapter 8, there's an interesting character there. His name is Simon. But remember, as Philip was preaching there in that huge revival there in Ephesus, and there was a move of God, this one guy, Simon, was saved. And yet, what's interesting to me when you study into Acts 8 and what went on there, that what the miracles was taking place was not, people weren't getting transformed by the miracles. That was, these signs shall follow them, or shall confirm the word with signs following. So these signs just followed the word. The word was being preached. The word was transforming lives. Hey, it's the scriptures that change us. Do you remember in Luke 16 where he talked about the rich man was in Hades burning up, and he just said, well, just send Lazarus back. Send somebody back to my brothers to tell them that this is a real torment, burning place. And you remember the answer the Lord had? He said, well, you know, actually it was Abraham speaking to him. He said, yeah, you know, Abraham said, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe them. They don't need somebody to come back from the dead. They've got the scriptures. That's enough. And that is what saves, man. As we believe in our hearts, confess with our mouth, and there's a transformation that takes place. So this guy Simon in Acts 8, very interesting. It goes on to say that many believed Philip and they got baptized. Simon was one of them. And then it goes on to talk about this guy in verse 18. And when Simon saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money for it. And then Peter, remember, got down on him and said, your money perish with you, because you have thought by buying this gift of God that you can purchase it with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And yet this man believed the gospel, got baptized, and his heart was wrong. His heart wasn't right. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So he had opportunity to turn. But most of us would have said, well, that guy's a Christian. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Peter just said, yes, he does. And his heart is in the gall of bitterness, and he's not right with God. Oh, yeah, he said Jesus, look, yes, he came forward, and yes, he went to the baptism, but his heart is not right with God. Can you do all that and still not get it? You bet. Guys, don't get hung up with outward appearances. It's the reality. Holy Spirit, lining the appearance and the reality up. It makes for a relationship. And that's what we need to be hungering after, that relationship. So Simon, I guess you could say he wasn't sincerely saved. In the last days, Jesus warned us in Matthew 24 and verse 24. He said, "And there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." These guys are going to come forth doing incredible signs and miracles. And we know in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, that the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. In the last days, great signs of healing. People being delivered from evil things. People just looking on the TV just going, "This man is a good man. He's good looking too." And they're just going to fall at his feet. He's a deliverer. He's the one we've been looking for. And deceive many. Great deception. So these signs, listen, are not proof that one is saved because they are doing these signs. I've always said this, and I believe it, that our greatest apologetic, and what is apologetics, but arguing for the faith and proving God is real, is not signs and wonders, guys. There's a lot of people doing that out there, okay? And a lot of them aren't of the Lord. Our greatest apologetic is standing on the Word of God and the prophecies that have been stated throughout the Scriptures. Satan cannot prophesy. And I'm talking about prophesying in saying an event is going to take place and it happening exactly what it said was going to be done. Oh, his little prophets and his little, you know, guys that are running around, they maybe are 35% accurate. And usually it's about stupid stuff. But no, we're talking about the Word of God, how accurate. This is God's Word. He's right on, 110%. Notice this. We prophesied. Boy, that's humility, isn't it? Look at what we did. And yet they were only promoting themselves. There's nothing here said about confession. We're confessing Christ, you know, we're sharing Christ, we're doing this. No, it's just we're doing these spiritual things. There's a haughtiness there. Many will be deceived by these, and they will be kept from the kingdom of God. It's true that his disciples would do these things. In fact, over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10 again, Jesus, talking about his disciples, he said in verse 19, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice in this, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Yes, I will use you to do miracles." And there will be signs. And yes, there will be healings. And there will be miracles. And the gifts of the Spirit are still alive today. But don't rejoice in them. But rejoice that you have a relationship with me. Get your eyes where they need to be, on the reality of what's going on. Don't be deceived. So don't rejoice in these as the main thing. Is what he's saying. But that you know and follow me. He is our ticket into heaven. He is our righteousness, our holiness to see God. Without holiness, no man, no woman will see the Lord. Again, don't be deceived by outward appearances. But let's go by the character. And again, we need to be fruit inspectors in that, don't we? Looking for what in people's life? The Beatitudes? Is this person poor in spirit? Are they humble? Are they meek? Are they godly? I mean, if you want another section to kind of test people by, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Line your life up, line their life up with Ephesians 5 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering, temperance, meekness, gentleness. And it just goes on and on and on. Of those things that would come out of a true Christian's life. And sorrow over sin is a big thing. Is this person really sorry about sin? Over in 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon." Paul was always burdened about the body of sin that he lived in. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body, this wretchedness?" He groaned over sin in his life. It did not please him. It did not, it hassled him. He cared about holiness. He cared about righteousness. He had a relationship with the Father. The very nature of God was upon his life. And so he cared about those things. His affections were on things above, not on things of the earth. He had a real relationship, a sincere relationship. Be an example of the believer in all your spirit, in all your words, in your faith, in your love, and everything. Be an example of the believer, Paul was telling Timothy. This is being sincerely saved. Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, remember what he said? He said, "Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for theirs, or they will be filled, and theirs is the kingdom." But you're hungering, you're thirsting after righteousness. There's the difference. If you notice here in chapter 7 of Matthew in verse 22, he says that many will say to me. That means that many are going to be deceived. Later on, we're going to see how there are going to be many houses built on what? Sand. And later on in Matthew 25, he talks about that there will be five foolish virgins. That to me is interesting. Five wise, five foolish, five will be deceived. And they're all calling themselves virgins. So in that day, there's two choices here, I see. You're either going to be shocked and go, "Lord, Lord." Or you're not going to be surprised at all. You're just going to enter in. And he's going to say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into the joy of the Lord." And you're going to say, "Yeah." Or you're going to be shocked. "What do you mean my name's not there? Look it up again. I mean, I did this and I did that." And he's going, "Oh boy." Make your salvation and election sure, the Bible says. Guys, make your salvation and election sure. We can do that. Over in 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul again talking to Timothy, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ..." Here we go. Are you ready for this? "Everyone who nameth the name of Christ..." You ready? Okay, here it comes. "Depart from iniquity." Whoa, whoa. "Depart from iniquity." It just makes it so clear. The will of the Lord. Day of reckoning. Their profession, "Lord, Lord." And then notice verse 23, going back to Matthew 7. He says, "And then will I profess." Okay, you professing me. Well, I've got something to profess about you. And I don't think you're going to like it. "I never knew you." Not that they knew him, and then he said, I remembered you, but now I don't know him. But, it's nothing about that. It says, "I never knew you. You never knew me." It's clear what he's saying here. And then he says, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And so his warning here to us, I believe, is he says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Judge yourself, or you're going to be deceived. And one of the greatest things in the last days is going to be deception. John says it very clear in 1 John 1:8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say," verse 10, "that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the Word is not in us. So that deception that happens to men. But there's something about an unconscious hypocrite that not only does he hurt himself, he hurts those that are around him. And it's not a popular thing, but it's very important that we see that we need to do this in our own lives. We need to test, we need to try, we need to prove ourselves that we're in the faith. And you say, Jeff, how am I to do this? Number one, it is not, and this is something we have to watch out for, it's by not being deceived with false doctrine. What is false doctrine? False doctrine is saying, I'm saved because I came forward at a church and I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and that's why I'm saved. Whoa, are you being deceived? Boy, are you being ripped off. Well, you just said if I come and confess, then I'll be saved. Well, that's right, you'll be saved. But there'll be fruit of your salvation. You're going to depart from iniquity. You're going to do God's will. There's a transformation that takes place in your life. And if there's no change, you're listening to sound or unsound doctrine. Unhealthy teaching, false doctrine, it's called. Heavy. Lord, Lord. You know that in James it says the devils believe and tremble. They're lost, but they believe he's Lord. But they're lost. Belief is more than saying things, and it is more than what? Doing things. Because there's a lot of people doing the right things that aren't saved. See, it's not just in the doing. Oh, yes, we need to do his will. You see, there's the difference. Not just in doing religious things. I go to church. I'm an American. Today, this is a big thing. It's the Christian nation against the Islam, you know, the holy war. Gosh. And so, you know, America, mom, and apple pie, right? There's a big thing about apple pie today. I don't know. And I'm a Christian because I live in America. We're all Christians here. Wrong. Has nothing to do with it. You say one thing and yet you live in sin. You think evil. There's evil in your heart at times that you're just being, you know, you're just being led astray. It's not right. Don't be deceived, because there will be no kingdom for you, is what Jesus is saying, if you are deceived. We need to be filled with the Spirit, don't we? We need to be seeking, hungering and thirsting after the righteousness that we would be filled on a daily basis. The second thing I think we can do is that self-examination that John talks about in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I go to Calvary Chapel. I'm saved. But if you are walking in darkness out there, you're lying. You're not saved. Just because you come here doesn't make you saved. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. God help us. He goes on to say in 1 John 3:14, listen to this. We know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. There's something to check yourself out with. Self-examination. You love the brethren. And you won't let anything come in front of that love. By this, you will know that they are my disciples. Why? Because they have love to one another. Preposition. Action. They love each other. And the world out there will know that we are his because we do that. And yet, look at what the enemy tries to put within the church and tries to cause to happen. The division, the schisms, and the plants, and the those things that just are of the flesh, and even hatred in the church. You know, one brother against another. Yeah, I sit on the other side. I don't even want to look at his face, man. Wow. You know, are you overflowing with love? We need to check our hearts out. We need to ask the Lord to to do an operation. Look at the fruit in your own life. If your motive is for self-glory or self-satisfaction, you're deluded, man. And Jesus said you'll die in your sins. Do you remember Saul? Saul was to wipe out the Amalekites. What did he do? He kept the king. He kept the best of the flocks. And when he was questioned about it, he goes, oh, what is that beating of the sheep? Bleeding of the sheep? Oh, that's just things that I'm going to sacrifice to God because he's been so good. Wait a minute, Saul. Didn't God said wipe them out? And he goes, well, yeah, but I'm going to sacrifice these. You see, I'm a guy that likes to get into worship, man. I like to sacrifice and I like to, you know, this is good. This is something good I'm going to do for God. God says, Saul, I don't need your sacrifice. I need your obedience. And you didn't obey me. Obedience. And the third thing that I think we can do is take heed to his word. And what am I saying by that? By not just for doctrine, guys. We need to understand God's word for practice in what we do and what we don't do, even in church, in the things of the government of the church, in everything that goes on. I think one of the big Bible questions in the to every man an answer. Listen, the word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. We need the word, not just, again, for doctrine, but for what we do and don't do, is this one number question. And is well, how come women can't be pastors? And a lot of people say, well, come on, the word is so outdated. Come on, we're living in the, you know, in a new millennium. Come on. Women can be pastors. Come on. Well, then you go over to 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 2, and he makes it very clear. He just simply says, let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silent. And then he gives the reason for it. And you say, well, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you know, and then what do you find yourself doing? You're arguing against Scripture. Come on. Take heed to the word of the Lord. I think also in the way that we see how Scripture is talking about how we need to see the word taught and preached. Today we're not seeing it taught and preached the way the Bible's saying we should. And Paul, again, a beautiful example. He didn't come with the wisdom of men. He came in the unction and the power and demonstration of the Spirit, and he spoke to them simply of God's word. And he went through and gave them all the counsel of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, expository teaching. And that's what's needed in the church today. And that's why many aren't growing. And so by God's word, we learn how to receive and how it's to be delivered and done. But we're not seeing it today. Why? Because people want results. They want the crowds, man. They don't want truth. They want instant results. God help us. What does Jesus say? The deception is that relationship is not that big of deal. And yet Jesus says right here, I never knew you. So what is relationship? It's everything, isn't it? Because in that day, when everything's revealed, he's going to say, either you had a right-on relationship with your right-on Redeemer, or you were right off. And he never walked with you, he never talked with you. You had all the outward appearance, but you didn't have the reality. Relationship is everything.
So the question that remains is, do you have a relationship with Christ that Pastor Jeff Johnson has been speaking about? If you're at all in doubt, we'd like to speak with you. So call us today here at Sound Doctrine, 800-353-7553. That's also the number to use if you'd like a CD copy of this message called Are You Sincerely Saved? Again, 800-353-7553. At Sound Doctrine, we're committed to teaching God's Word verse by verse, but we can't do it alone. We rely on the Lord and the faithful support of our listeners as we come to you day by day. And if you'd like to help people all over the world have access to Sound Doctrine, you can make a secure donation at sounddoctrineradio.org. And while you're at it, you might want to request Pastor Jeff's book, An Exhortation from the Shepherd's Heart. This is a commentary on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. the Apostle Paul wrote a personal letter to two pastors that he personally instructed, loved, and planted churches with. We have the privilege to read these wonderful exhortations in God's Word. Pastor Jeff wrote this commentary from the perspective of a shepherd, with a heart for future pastors. It contains helpful commentary, illustrations, and detailed application too. Get a copy by going online today to sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on Store. Or we can take your request when you call toll-free 800-353-7553. And please, if you would, include a little extra to help us continue this ministry. We'd be ever so grateful. Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff is a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. We'll catch you back here next time when we'll return to the Gospel of Matthew. So, Father,